Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me, Steven?
Yeah, I got you, bud.
Okay, all right, my bad. Suzanne said that she couldn't hear me a while ago. I was talking earlier. I think I might have been muted. I might have muted myself or something about, you know, the Philip Lutzen, Kirk, and Joseph Davis that was in that vehicle with him from it was a JUCO transfer to Georgia, and that Messiah Taylor from, I think it was Designing Women was that show. That was three that passed away this weekend, and my mom and dad said everything always comes in threes, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's the old saying, at least.
Yeah, I know it. But I know you had wanted me to, I guess I got a lot of talking I got to do, and I got some breaking news. Is there anything you want to throw out there before I start this talking about the Truck Series, Nationwide Series, and everything went on at Kentucky?
Yeah, I'm gonna let you carry on that tonight. Unfortunately, this weekend I was being on the road and having to deal with a server crash that I had to get taken care of over the weekend. I did not really get to watch much of the race, any of the races actually at Kentucky all weekend. Just one quick thing that I got out of NASCAR this afternoon. Kyle Busch has failed post-race inspection during the truck race there on Thursday night. NASCAR has levied a P2 penalty against him for a truck failing to meet post-race height requirements, and the crew chief Eric Phillips has been fined $5,000, and owner Kyle Busch has been penalized with 6 championship truck owner points. No suspensions or anything of that nature this time.
Okay, yeah, I got that too also from NASCAR media from Mr. Kerry Thorpe, Stephen. I seen that and had it ready to go. So if you want me to, I guess it's going to take me a little bit to read all this off. So I'll go ahead, Stephen. NASCAR Camper World Truck Series, the fourth annual Uno 225 from Kentucky Motor Speedway. Race winner was Kyle Busch, age 29. Team number 51, Dollar General Toyota. Owner Kyle Busch, crew chief Eric Phillips, which you were just talking about. Kerry Tharp passed down a fine. Kyle Busch won the fourth annual Uno 225, his 40th victory in 120 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series races. This is his fifth victory and fifth top 10 finish in 2014. This is his second victory and fifth top 10 finish in five races at Kentucky Speedway. Darrell Wallace Jr. finished second, posted his first top 10 finish in two races at Kentucky Speedway. It is his fourth top 10 finish in 2014. Ryan Blaney finished third, posted his second top 10 finish in three races at Kentucky Speedway. Ben Kennedy finished 10th, was your highest finishing rookie. Johnny Sauter leads the points, standings by 8 points over Matt Crafton. This is Toyota's 10th straight win, dating back to Eric Jones' win at Phoenix International Raceway in November 2013. This is the longest active win streak by any manufacturer in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Just a little bit of post-race stuff there. And I have the infraction sheet, but I could go through that forever. I don't want to do that on that. And let's go ahead and go to the – we got a lot of people coming on tonight, Steve. Let's go ahead and go to the NASCAR Nationwide Series. 14th annual John R. Elliott Hero Campaign 300 presented by Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over at the Kentucky Speedway. Your race winner was Kevin Harvick, age 38. Team number 5, Kroger P&G Chevrolet. Owner Rick Hendrick, crew chief Ernie Cope. Kevin Harvick won the 14th annual John R. Elliott Hero Campaign 300 presented by Drive Sober, Get Pulled Over. His 42nd victory in 309 NASCAR Nationwide Series races. This is his second victory and 8th top 10 finish in 2014. This is his second victory and 5th top 10 finish in 5 races at Kentucky Speedway. Brad Keselowski finished 2nd, posted his 7th top 10 finish in 7 races at Kentucky Speedway. It is his 5th top 10 finish in 2014. Kyle Busch finished 3rd, posted his 5th top 10 finish in 7 races at Kentucky Speedway. Ty Dillon, 7th, was the highest finishing rookie. Elliott Sauter leads the point standings by 4 points over Chase Elliott after that race at Kentucky. Now I'll run to the Cup side real quick, Steven. The 4th annual Quaker State 400 presented by Advance Auto Parts of Kentucky Speedway. Race winner was Brad Keselowski, age 30, team number 2, Miller Lite Ford, owner Roger Penske, crew chief Paul Wolf. Brad Keselowski won the 4th annual Quaker State 400 presented by Advance Auto Parts, his 12th victory in 178 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series races. This is his 2nd victory and 9th top 10 finish in 2014. This is his 2nd victory and 3rd top 10 finish in 4 races at Kentucky Speedway. Kyle Busch finished 2nd, posted his 4th top 10 finish in 4 races at Kentucky Speedway. It's his 7th top 10 finish in 2014. Ryan Newman finished 3rd, posted his 2nd top 10 finish in 4 races at Kentucky Speedway. Austin Dillon finished 16th with the highest finishing rookie. Jeff Gordon led the point standings by 24 points over Jimmy Johnson. Of course, we all know that's points. Jeff just has one win. Brad Keselowski has led a series high 346 laps at Kentucky Speedway in 4 starts. Race winner Brad Keselowski is now 4th in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series point standings. Okay, Stephen, I'll run across a little bit of that, and I'm going to let you I'll tell our listeners right now the number to call in is 215-383-3681, and tonight at 7:15 Eastern Time, we have my good friend Cruz Skinner, 12-year-old, driving in the crate models, the dirt track here at Talladega. I think, don't correct me, don't get me wrong, I know he's won, I don't know if it was the last 3 or the last 4 in a row. This kid's on a row. And Suzanne told me earlier, he was actually interviewed by one of our local Fox affiliates here in Birmingham this morning. I didn't get to watch it. And at 7:30 Eastern Time, we have Mr. Doug Richard, which was Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s crew chief when he won the back then was the Winston Cup Championship in 1980. And, Doug's got a big resume. We could talk about him forever and ever, and which now he's over research and development for BK Motorsports, and he was crew chief for Greg Biffle and others, and we'll let him talk about that when he comes on. But, okay, Stephen, since I'm about out of breath, I'll let you have it, my friend.
Well, just a few thoughts. I've run across a couple things this past weekend, watching some of the replays of some of the highlights this weekend from Kentucky. You know, biggest thing I think I'm surprised about is that the low turnout of people out there. I know one of the Cincinnati newspapers was estimating about 50,000 people at Kentucky, and that included everybody in the infield. So that just that seems to me that over the last couple of years, the downward spiral that Kentucky is having. I know Kentucky has tried to turn it around since their first year out there where they had some major problems. 10,000 people were turned away from the parking lots and never got to see the race because of parking issues, because of traffic issues. And, you know, it just seemed like it's been a downward spiral for them as far as the Sprint Cup Series is concerned out there. This year, you know, if you've got 10,000 people in the infield, you know, give or take a few thousand here or there, you know, you've really only got somewhere around 50,000 people in the grandstands. It holds 101,000 people, according to what SMI has published. You've got about a 50% fill rate in the grandstands, and, you know, that's not great. That's not great at all, considering that tracks like Martinsville keep 65,000 people, and they're typically able to put 55,000 people in there on the weekends without a problem. So I don't, you know, a lot of the drivers were complaining about the track, said that it's very rough on the front stretch. I heard even Jeff Gordon say out there that if SMI and Kentucky would go out there and grind the front straightaway down from turn four all the way down to turn one and repave it, not necessarily put any kind of new banking or anything of that nature in, but it's really bumpy out there as far as the front stretch is concerned. He had some issues with the way that the track was developing over the race also. And the other thing, I think we saw some issues at Goodyear this weekend where both Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson both this weekend had some issues with the, I believe it was the right front tire shredding apart. I know a lot of that, according to Goodyear, said that because of the green track, there just wasn't enough rubber on the track to keep the tires together like they normally would. But that's still no excuse as to, you know, what's going on with the tires. You know, Goodyear was well-versed in these types of scenarios, and I believe that, you know, they could have probably, you know, they're close enough to home and close enough to Charlotte that they could have gotten different tires, right side cut tires out there in time for the race weekend.
Yeah, I would totally agree, Steven. Yeah, I mean, you know, and, you know, back on that first statement you said, talking about the fans that was in the stands, you know, that's the first thing Suzanne seen. She said, "Tim, there ain't that many people there." I said, "No, they ain't, Suzanne. I mean, I don't know what's going on." And, you know, Bruton always does a good job of promoting everything. But, you know, we keep talking about empty seats and all that. We can beat it to death. But and you brought up another good point about the bumps. You know, that's all I heard them talk about this weekend was the bumps, the lovely racetrack bumps coming down a tri-oval. And somebody took – I think I seen where Kyle Ricci took a pace car ride with somebody, and he videoed it, put it on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And it looked like a really good – I mean, you know, it wasn't really just a bump. It was like a hump. And I know that disturbs a race car a lot. I'm like you. They probably need to repave Kentucky Speedway because, Stephen, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't that sort of like a sister track to Kansas?
You know, I'm not sure what track that is designed after. You know, that track was not built by either SMI or ISC. It was built by a local group of investors that built the track about 12 or 14 years back. And I don't think it's been repaved at all since then. I don't think much has been done other than adding some grandstands in and things of that nature. Yeah. I know Jeff Gordon's his biggest concern this weekend was the bump that is right there at the start-finish line. He said that's the biggest part in the transition there in the front tri-oval.
Yeah, I do too. And, Stephen, we've got Mr. Cruz Skinner. Suzanne's got him on in the screening room here. We're going to bring Cruz on. Cruz is one. I'm, you know, like I said earlier, I don't know if it's three straight or four straight, but he races in the Creek Model division here at Talladega Superspeedway. I've met Cruz, class act, really nice young man. He races in the same division as my good friend Adam Gauldin. And Adam, I think, had a pretty good record the other night. We didn't get to go out, but Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to bring on Cruz, you're in the pit stop with Tim the Spain and Stephen Wilson on Speedway Digest Radio Network. How you doing tonight, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing good. Suzanne told me you was on Fox. You done an interview with Fox Six. I'll spit it out in a minute. Fox Six News this morning. I didn't know that.
No, sir, I did not.
Okay, Suzanne got some missing information. But yeah, Cruz, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. Now, did I mess it up? Have you won 3 in a row or 4 in a row out there?
I won 2 in a row. Then we didn't do as good next week, then we won the week after that.
Okay, that's right. And now, are you going to race in this big event that they have going on Thursday night at Talladega Short Track?
Yes, sir, I'll be here.
Myself and Suzanne will too. And, Cruz, I want to hand you over to my good friend Stephen Wilson, CEO of Speedway Digest, and he's a real good guy, got a lot of contacts. And, Stephen, if you want to ask Cruz a few questions about how he started, how he come up, and all that, you got the floor, my friend.
Hey, Cruz, this is Steve Wilson with Speedway Digest. First question, with you being a local track guy right out there in Talladega, kind of tell everybody out there a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in racing and who some of your role models are coming up now.
Well, as I was growing up, my father and my grandfather took me to the races a lot. My dad raced some around the state, around the south. So I've always wanted to race a car.
And as far as, you're racing right now at the dirt track there in Talladega, where do you see yourself moving along in the next couple of years? Obviously, there's sponsorship that everybody has to have in order to move up through the series, not only in dirt tracks, but even in oval track racing. But barring, any sponsorship issues, where do you feel that you would like to be in the next few years?
In the next few years, I want to progress in my racing career. I eventually want to get to NASCAR. I just want to progress as I go on.
And talking a little bit about you wanting to get into NASCAR, what kind of groundwork have you started working on now? Have you started working with any development, with any teams as far as that is concerned? Or are you talking with any of the drivers and team owners, maybe even in like the K&N series and some of the other series that are out there to see where you need to be in order to get to that next step?
No, sir, I'm not right now. Right now I'm just trying to focus on getting a few wins in the car I'm in right now. I'm trying to have a pretty good season and get some top fives in.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm going to hand you back over to Tim.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Stephen. Them are really good questions. And for our fans out there, I want to let everybody know, Cruz is 12 years old, and he's one of the – you are the youngest winner in the Nesmith Racing Series, correct,
Cruz? Yes, sir.
Okay. I had been Googling some stuff earlier, and but, yeah, is Adam okay after that wreck he had the other night? We didn't make it out there. I heard his car took a really sharp turn to the right and hit the wall.
Yes, sir. I didn't talk to him after the wreck, but I kind of saw him around the pits. He took a pretty hard hit. I think he's okay.
Okay, good. And, Cruz, while we're waiting on Mr. Doug Richard to come on, do you want to talk a little bit about your sponsorship, what you've got going, what your dad and all have going, and where you might be going for which, you got the floor, Cruz. Just whatever you want to talk about, you got it.
Well, first of all, I just want to start off thanking everybody that's helped me come through from when I was 5 racing go-karts to where I am now. I just want to thank Skinner Body Shop, Skinner Motors, my dad, my grandfather. I want to thank Ronnie Johnson and Dale McDowell. They've helped me out a lot, too. I also want to thank Napa and Whole House.
Sounds good, bud. Now, are you going to race all 4 of these races that are coming up, you know, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night? Are you going to follow that all the way around where they're going to the different tracks?
Yes, sir. We're going to try to make it to all the races. If something, we're going to try to make it to all of them. Maybe we won't have any problems.
Okay. Sounds good. And, Cruz, I want to ask you a question. I'm, you know, not really, I just want to throw this out there. Are you wearing any type of head and neck restraint as far as safety?
Yes, sir. I'm wearing a neck brace. I've been trying to use my Hans as much as I can.
Okay. And do you like the Hans with it, you know, with everything clipped in like that, or would you like to see something different?
For me, I like the Hans. I might look into something different, but right now I'm just going to stick with the Hans unless something else comes up that I really like.
Okay. Well, my good friend Paul Cleveland from Australia, he's owner of Brace Yourself, and my other good friend Tony B. He's a former Indy 500 champion crew member. He was a front tire carrier for Dario Franchitti when he won the 2012 Indy 500, and he does this. He's got this donut type head and neck restraint that he's really trying to promote, and I'm trying to get one to where, you know, maybe I can bring it out and let, you know, some of you guys test it and see like what it is. You're not really strapped, you know, you're not strapped to the seat with all them clips. It's like a big, I don't really know how it works. I hadn't seen it yet, but would you be interested in maybe testing it if I bring one out one Saturday night?
Yes, sir. One Saturday night, just bring it. I'll be really interested in testing it. I'm always looking for new and improved things to try out.
Okay. All right. 10-4, bud. And, Stephen, can you take over Doug? Doug Richard just called my cell phone, and I'm going to call him back. Something must be coming up. Can you take over, and I'll be right back, Stephen.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, so thanks a lot. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Just any last thoughts that you want to throw out there before you have to get off here?
I just want to thank all my crew members that help me out every week. I just want to thank my crew chief, UB, my dad, Greg Skinner. I want to thank Mark for helping us out a lot. Also want to thank my grandfather for supporting me.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you coming on tonight, and good luck out there at Talladega Short Track, and good luck in your future and whatever you decide to pursue in the next few years.
Thanks for having me.
Hey,
thanks, Jay. Call in, Tom.
Steven.
Yeah.
Steven, Cruz. Cruz,
yes,
are you still there? Okay.
Yes,
hold on a minute. I think Suzanne's got Doug Richard. I had talked to him. You know, maybe you might want to ask him a few questions, maybe get some pointers from him. I think this is him. He called my cell phone, and I missed the call, and I think Suzanne's got him. We'll hold on here a minute and make sure that is Doug. Well, she hadn't typed nothing in there yet. But, yeah, Cruz, at 12 years old, I mean, good Lord, I wasn't even thinking about racing. But you really, I mean, what actually got you into it, Cruz? I mean, was it bicycles or skateboards or what was it?
Well, like I said earlier, as a young child, my dad and my grandfather always took me to a racetrack. I've always just wanted to race a car. So my dad put me in a go-kart. Oh. I really liked it, so I just went from there.
Okay. And I'm going to tell you, son, from what you're doing at 12 years old, you're doing really great. And, ladies and gentlemen, we got Mr. Doug Richard coming on. He is research and development for BK Racing. Let's bring him on right now. Hey, Doug, you're in the pit stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson and Cruz Skinner on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. How you doing tonight, my friend?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. If I'm on the pit stop, are we coming in for two tires or four?
You're the crew chief. I guess one of us is a driver. Whatever you want to do. We want to get track position, don't we?
Yeah, well, it depends on how much aero you need. But anyhow, yeah, how's everybody doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great, Doug. Yeah, and we might get a surprise phone call from your good friend Steve Hill. I don't know if he's going to call or not, but anyway, Doug, we want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. And I was going to try to read off your resume, Doug, but I'm at good Lord, it would take up 2 hours. I mean, you know, I'm not even going to try it, but I have one question, then I'll hand you over to Stephen from CEO of Speedway Digest, and then young Cruz Skinner that's burning the dirt track up here in Talladega. But I have one question about, I don't know if our fans know, that you were the crew chief for Mr. Dale Sr. when he won his first, back then, was Winston Cup Championship. And which I know you've been around the sport too, how do you take far as what the change that NASCAR has done far as from then to now? Is it good for the sport, bad for the sport, or what's your take on that, Doug?
Well, you know, obviously, back in the late 70s when I first started, you know, it's like anything, technology, sports, advertising, all that, has come so far, you know. You know, a good sponsorship back then was $750,000. Okay, now if you don't have $7.5 to $15 million, you know, you're not up with the times. But you know, obviously, if NASCAR didn't try to keep their hand on the technology would be out of hand, and we would never have a sponsor to be able to afford it. So, you know, we all want to criticize NASCAR for changes or whatever, but really it's changes to kind of help keep the sport growing in the right direction and not really just getting out of hand. So what they've done now is, you know, they put us in a box, okay? They took the creativity out of the aero part of the cars, and the chassis pretty much are within a box or a window, so to say. And it's leaving it just to the engineering, how we approach it from springs and all that. And, you know, with this year even, letting us, you know, kind of have at it, boys. Well, run it whatever height you want to run it. You know, if you want to raise it up, fine. That's your deal. There is no height rules. And that just keeps us from, you know, spending a lot of extra money and buying these really expensive exotic springs and all that to try to get the car down on the ground from our standard 6 and 8 frame height that our standard is. So, you know, it's all good. You know, the economy that we had to deal with a few years back hurt more than anything. I mean, yeah, we lost some fan base and all, but I feel like it's coming back from what I can see at the tracks.
Yes, sir. I do, too. And, you know, I've been around the sport since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, Doug. I used to work for Mr. Enix Daily here at Talladega Super Speedway. I've weed-eated, I've bush-hogged, I've been a runner back and forth, I've definitely seen the change. And I think the change is for the good, especially the safer bears and all. That was one of, I think, the standout things that NASCAR done was the safer bears. I applaud them for that.
Right. And,
yeah. And okay, Doug.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Doug. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was really just gonna say, with what NASCAR has done with all the aspects of the safety has been good, because losing key players, you know, like Dale Earnhardt Sr., was not good for the sport. I don't care what you say. We didn't need to lose Dale. We didn't need to lose some others. And, you know, from the seats to the belts to the testing to the safer barriers and to the inspection that they make us go through at the tracks, it's all for a really good reason there.
Amen, Doug. I totally agree. And I'm going to hand you over to my good friend, Stephen Wilson. Stephen, you and Doug got the floor, bud.
Hey, Doug. Steve Wilson, Speedway Digest. First question I got for you tonight is, big day racing, as, you know, anybody looking from the outside in, a good day for you guys usually at the track is running up there mid-pack, trying to compete along with some of the mid-pack drivers out there. From an R&D standpoint, I know a lot of your funding comes from Ron Devine, and it comes right out of his pocket, and you guys have some sponsors that do come in to help you guys out from time to time, and you've brought Cole Witt in this year, and you've got three cars out there. From an R&D aspect that you're working with them now, what do you think you can do from that aspect to improve the cars on the weekends?
Well, what you want to work towards, you know, I say we, myself, or just the company in general, what we work towards is any time that you know, it's a full-time job, just getting a car ready, prepared, and set up to go to the track. Well, to do anything else over and above that, there's a lot of extra effort. And what I'm doing now and what I'm trying to work on is when we have a tire test scheduled, we have some testing up at the Toyota R&D Center there in Salisbury, I try to just head that up, and we have our competition meetings there at the shop, and we talk about, you know, what is it we, you know, obviously in racing, anybody in Cup, it's like they never turn good enough, and you know when they turn good enough, well then I'm too loose somewhere other. So you try to pull the aspects of the track conditions and what the car's doing, and you try to make that a happy medium, you know. And so those are the things that, you know, whether it's from the aero side, you know, taking cars to the wind tunnel, taking cars to the seven post, working with the group of crew chiefs at the seven post, getting the ideas from the crew chiefs coming back from the track, and just compiling it and working along with it, just like I would have been if I was at the track and stuff. You know, trying to apply some of the things that you know that you can do instead of just doing a bunch of things that, no, NASCAR's not going to like that, and not waste time.
And this year, you know, NASCAR, they brought a new car to the track with new aero package and new design out there. What is the biggest challenge that you guys have seen working not only with yourselves but working with Toyota to better the aero package and better the racing experience, not only for your team, but Toyota and the other drivers, and to kind of work on some of the issues that obviously other teams that had early in the season. You know, you take a look at like Hendricks and Roush, they've obviously not performed very well this year, and a lot of it is just because of the changes in the cars. Just kind of talk a little bit about what you guys have done working not only with yourselves, but Toyota to kind of overcome some of those challenges.
Well, obviously, just from the Toyota aspect of things, the facility that you have to use in Salisbury there, you know, with the seven post and being involved in getting some wind tunnel time at wind shear there in Concord, and also over at Aerodyne in Mooresville, you know, using the AVCS rig and, you know, the vehicle dynamics machine to be able to test compliance and actually know exactly where your tow goes when you put 2,000 or 3,000 pounds of lateral load in the front end and you load it vertically enough to keep it off the racetrack. Those are all the things that, yeah, you can have stuff, but do you really know what your stuff is doing when it is in this condition? And that's where the Hendrixes and Gibbs and all these guys that's been doing this a lot longer with a group of people, they've got their simulation. You know, you always hear about simulation and all this. That's such a valuable tool once you get it up and running that you don't, you can make a change or you make a change in your combination and you actually see the effects of it before you have to go out during your hour and a half practice to get it ready to go at a normal weekend. You can do some of these things and sort of pre-fit in your mind, know what it'll do for your entry, your middle, and your exit, and just help you break those things down. And that's what we're working on right now to try to build our program to the next level. You know, in having simulation, you have to do a lot of testing to create the simulation. And that's the growing pains that we're doing right now is trying to gather all this information and put it into a system that spits out the proper numbers and that the crew chiefs all have confidence, you know, in using at the track.
And you had talked a little bit about how you had started there in the 70s in the sport. You've worked through multiple generations of cars and worked with multiple drivers all the way from Dale Earnhardt to, I believe, Ron Hornaday and Carl Edwards and a lot of other drivers out there that you've been able to work with. Looking towards the future, and I know NASCAR has that R&D center down there where they are looking to the future of the sport, not only with the cars but the engines and everything in between. Where do you see the sport going in the future, technologically?
Well, you know, it's only going to be able to go so far because that's where NASCAR has to step in somewhat and not let us get crazy. You know, technology is expensive. You know, just with the electronics and all this simulation and how far you take something and what they allow you to do, that's where they're trying to control us and not let us get too far out of whack because, you know, just you can spend money hand over fist if you really want to and just test and build this model and whatever. So that part's good. Otherwise, people like us, it would put us out of business, you know. So being involved with Toyota and stuff like that where we can get some little bit of technology help, a little bit of trend of what they've seen with their bodies and stuff like that, that's where we benefit from the Toyota partnership that we have with them.
All right, well, thanks, Doug. I appreciate you answering my questions tonight. I'm going to throw you back over here to Tim.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Good job, Steve and Doug. Hey, Doug, we had talked earlier. I want to introduce you to one of my good friends, Cruz Skinner. Races in the crate model series out here at Talladega Super Speedway. Doug, he's 12 years old. And this young kid is burning some dirt. 12 years old, and he is burning some dirt. I have met him. I've got an interview with him. I'm gonna see him again Thursday night. They got a big race out there at Talladega Short Track Thursday night. Miss Rita Donahue and everything, they invited me and Suzanne out. We're going to get some interviews and everything. But, you know, I had spoke to you earlier. I have not spoke to Cruz about this. But and you agreed to sort of give him some pointers and help this young man out. But, Doug, I want to introduce you to Cruz Skinner. Cruz, meet Doug.
Hey, Cruz, how you doing, man? I'm hearing good things about you so far. So,
hi, I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's awesome to see somebody your age that's out there doing this because that's one thing that I can say that I constantly see in this sport is you start looking at these drivers coming into the sport and Timmy Hills and Kyle Larson's and you know back at Roush, you know, Kyle Busch was coming in to the sport, and everybody has to wait their driver's license to be able to start driving in NASCAR. And obviously, with yourself, 12 years old, you know, you got a little ways to go before you can get into the NASCAR ranks because of the age limits that they put on it. But I tell you, you can't get too much experience before you start into this level of racing that NASCAR gives us, whether it's the, you know, NASCAR late model or just, you know, the NASCAR trucks and nationwide and stuff like that. Man, I think what you've got going on at 12 years old and all that, you're definitely on the right path.
Well, thank you, and I just wanted to ask you if you had any advice for a young, you know, coming driver like me.
Well, I tell you, the biggest advice I can give you is learn all you can about the car. You know, be involved with the car, know the workings of a car, because I feel like the more you know about the vehicle and the more things that you know would affect the vehicle helps you as a driver give feedback to your crew or to your crew chief or whoever's running your crew, you know, to be able to make good, knowledgeable changes. You know, that's what I feel, and I've had the pleasure to work with some very, very, very intelligent drivers, Alan Kowicki, Darrell Waltrip, Neil Bonnet, all Dale Sr. They had a feel for the car, and they knew what they needed to feel to go run good. And that only comes with experience. And as you get that experience and you keep learning the vehicles and then you know what makes you feel good and what makes you run fast, that's very important to transfer that to your crew to be able to make the changes that they need.
Thanks. I'll keep that in mind.
Cruz, you have got a legend you're sitting here talking to. Yeah, you ask him whatever he wants to. He said he'd be glad to answer. Okay,
you know,
Cruz. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doug.
And I was just going to say, there's no legend here. I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity that I've had in NASCAR. Starting at a young age myself, Cruz, I was 16 when I left California heading this way, and I turned 17 driving through Texas. And I've had a lot of good people. I've had a lot of good friends that I've all met and worked with and had the privilege to work with some great people in NASCAR and with NASCAR themselves. That's helped me along with my career, and you know, I'm very thankful for that. And I just hope that I can keep on trucking along and doing what I've done all my life. I haven't done anything else but race. And, you know, just being involved with it in any way I can, whether it's managing teams or working with BK Ray, just whatever it is, I would love to just keep on doing something with racing because, you know, I've just grown up with it about like what you've done so far yourself.
Cruz, are you there, son?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Doug, I want to thank you very much, Doug, for taking time out to come on our show. Me and Steven, you know, we just do this to try to help the sport. We love the sport, and Larry McReynolds and Steve Post have really helped us out for us, you know, getting contacts and everything. And, Doug, I want to thank you again for everything that you've done for the sport. You've really done a great job for helping everything, and Stephen, do you have any last thoughts for Doug or Cruz?
No, I don't. I appreciate you guys coming on, and you know, Cruz, good luck to you, like I said, and Doug, good luck at what you guys got going over on BK, and hope you guys can get out there and compete a little bit more on the weekends. I know you got some talented drivers out there that are trying to work their butts off, try and get out there, and the best of luck to you guys.
All right, well, I appreciate it there, guys. And, Cruz, it was nice talking with you. Hopefully maybe one of these trips to Talladega or something in the area there, maybe you get a chance to meet with you and talk with you a little bit down there.
Okay, thank you, and sounds good.
All right, bud. See you later.
Okay.
See you guys.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Cruz. Y'all don't be strangers. We'll get back with y'all later. Okay, Stephen, that was Cruz Skinner and Doug Richard. I mean, you know, you could read off, I mean, golly, I mean, he's, Doug was a crew chief for, I mean, you know, a lot of good guys. And he took the time out to call and talk to young Cruz. And I had asked him to do that. I probably put Cruz on the spot, and I'm sorry about that. I didn't contact him and let him know. But, I mean, you know, 12 years old, Stephen. I mean, he is, I mean, you just got to see this kid. Whenever me and Suzanne, and I don't want Cruz to take this the wrong way. When me and Suzanne was out there, and I was talking to his dad and everything, and I seen his car. I said, man, this is a nice car. He's got a nice hauler. And I was looking around. I said, is Cruz around? I'd like to get an interview for our show. You know, you heard the interview that we got. And they said, he's gone up to the so-and-so, so I don't know where he went. Well, I was standing around there talking, and all of a sudden, this little kid come walking up, and I said, hey, bud, how you doing? He said, I'm Cruz Skinner. I'm like, I mean, no disrespect, Cruz. I was not expecting to see a 12-year-old kid burning the dirt track up like you did. And Stephen, whenever y'all come down for the fall race here at Talladega Super Speedway, we'll have to take you and Miss Anne Marie out there to the short track. I mean, it's something, bud.
Yeah, you know, the sport is just getting younger and younger. We have a lot of guys and gals that are coming up through the sport. You know, a lot of times, you know, you talk to a lot of these drivers out there that have come up all the way from go-karts and quarter midgets and things of that nature through their late model days and now into NASCAR. And the competition on the track and the drivers out there are exploding. You know, even in this economy, we're seeing younger and younger kids getting into the sport. We're seeing the competition level obviously going up, and that's good. That not only for them, because it gives you hope, and to see that you get to see some of these guys and gals that are out there on the weekends at your local short track. That, you know, one day these are going to be the ones that are going to take over for the Jimmy Johnsons and the Jeff Gordons and the Brad Keselowskis. And you know, it gives you a lot of hope to see the competition level that these people really have out there now, and the dedication that they are putting into the sport, not only on the asphalt tracks, but even on the dirt tracks too.
Yeah, 10-4, bud. 10-4. I mean, you know, that's where, you know, these young and up and coming kids is going to be our future in the sport. I mean, you know, they just got to be in the right place, the right time to catch sponsorship and all that. But Stephen, we're waiting on Tim Campbell to come on with our race weekend forecast for the Coke Zero 400 at Daytona International Speedway, and that's going to be a big race. It's going to be a big race, and you know, we're getting close to the end of the. You know, me and you talked earlier. I think we've got 10 different winners, and you got a lot of multiple winners now. And I think we're going to see a lot more repeat winners. I don't think, you know, me and you. I think you said maybe 11, 12, and I think I agreed with you too. And correct me if I'm wrong. Haven't we got 10 winners now?
Yeah, we've got about 10 winners, right? About 10 different winners right now. We've got 9 races to go until the cutoff there at Richmond in September. So, yeah, you know, I think maybe there's a couple tracks coming up where we may see a first-time winner. We've got Watkins Glen coming up where we may see an A.J. Allmendinger or Marcus Ambrose get a win out there and put themselves into the chase at this late going in the season right now. That one win will get you into the chase at this point. I said at the beginning of the season we would not see 16 winners this year, and right now it's holding true. We've got a lot of tracks coming up where we've already been to already, a couple new tracks that we haven't yet been to this year, but a lot of those tracks are already going to be dominated by those guys running out front, like the Carl Edwards, like Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, and Brad Keselowski. So I see that we'll have a couple of those guys again get another win with the possibility of also, you know, Joey Logano also. So, yeah, you know, I said it, like I said, at the beginning of the season, we were not going to see 16 winners, and it was not going to happen this year. Now maybe next year or 2 years down the road, once these guys are able to to get a little bit more under them as far as the way the chase format is, provided that NASCAR doesn't change it here in the next couple of years. We may get closer and closer to that 16 level. But, yeah, we've got 10 different winners right now and multiples already. Greg Keselowski, Jeff Gordon, Carl Edwards, Jimmy Johnson all have multiple wins out there this year.
Yeah, that's 10 for them. You know, I just like to bring it up every now and then, you know, because me and you talk about that. But we've got Tim Campbell coming on. You know, me and you, you know, we do our little segment, and then we sort of go into Tim and let him do the race weekend forecast for the Coke Zero 400 at Daytona International Speedway and let him talk about some of his weather stuff and all that. But at this time, I would like to bring on Mr. Tim Campbell, our weatherman from Stillwater, Oklahoma. Dang, Tim. The tornado slinging that car in here. What's going on? Tim, how you doing, my friend? You're in the pit stop. Tim, this is Stephen Wilson on Speedway Digest Radio Network. I had to play.
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Hot. Hot down here.
What's the weather like down there?
It's muggy, hazy, hot. I ain't going to. I think Stephen said he got a half-inch snow a while ago. I can't remember what he said.
Yeah,
We don't have any snow coming up. But come Friday, we've got a hurricane coming through here, talking about 80 mile an hour winds. So I may or may not be able to get to watch the race in Daytona.
No, it's gonna be long gone by. There won't be nowhere around Daytona Beach by Friday. It'd be long gone.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. But, Tim, what Stephen's talking about, you know, that little disturbance that they've upgraded to, I think it's tropical storm now. I don't know if it's going to make a hurricane or not. They say it might, and, you know, the way that they talk, and I've been watching today on my phone, it's going to sort of skirt the coast. And, you know, Stephen said they are expecting some big winds up that way. But, anyway, Tim, we want to thank you. Again, I probably say it every week on the show, but thank you for being our weatherman, our storm chaser, and you've got the floor, bud. You can talk about the race weekend forecast at Daytona and talk about anything you want to talk about the weather right now, if there's anything bad out there.
Okay. Looks like on the 4th of July, we're looking at partly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms with highs in the 90s and a 40% chance of rain. And Friday night, we're looking at partly cloudy, a slight chance of evening showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-70s, and a 20% chance of rain. And in our race day forecast, it's going to be partly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-90s with a 40% chance of rain. And Saturday night, it's going to be partly cloudy, slight chance of evening showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-70s. With a 20% chance of rain that night. So I think this hurricane's got it all stirred up. And like I say, it should be hitting sometime tonight. Where they got it on the map, it should be hitting Florida down there tonight. And by Friday, it should be quite a ways up the coast by Friday and race time. So hopefully it'll take some of this rain with it, and we'll have a nice race day.
Yeah, they're talking about the hurricane will the projected right now path will come right off the North Carolina coast, and sometime midday on Friday, they are projecting 80 mile an hour winds here in Virginia, gusting winds here. So we're in for a little bit. We've already had the mad rush of people starting today trying to go get their gasoline and everything else that they can go and pick out of a store so that they can get through this little rough patch of weather we got coming through here.
Yeah, and you know, Stephen, Tim, they always go for milk and bread. Why does everybody go for milk and bread?
I don't know.
When I worked at Walmart, you could always tell when it was going to storm because everybody'd be in there. You couldn't buy no milk and you couldn't buy no bread. I mean, the shelves would be plumb empty.
Yeah, or either going for some Viennese and crackers, or some potted meat or something. I don't know. I just had to throw that out there. Sorry, y'all. Sorry, y'all.
Just
anyway,
bring their milk and eat it that way.
Yes, sir. Anyway, Tim, we've got Tony B waiting on the side, and Tina Stull and Miss NHRA. But if you want to talk a little bit about what you do for some of our listeners that may not have heard you about, you know, your storm chasing, you know, you and your wife and all that, you got the floor for a minute, Tim.
Okay, yeah, me and my wife, we're storm chasers and photographers out here in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and I do weather forecasting for Weather Patrol and as part of an emergency service of Weather Ag out in California, and we do all kinds of weather, not just only tornadoes, but we do any kind of emergencies like fires and everything, and we try to get some good pictures, and when we're not out in the field working, I'm trying to keep my wife busy taking pictures here in Stillwater, and we got a website. You can go on and visit our website if you'd like to, and it's www.skywarnweather.weebly.com. And just leave us a comment on there, and if there's anything you want to know about the weather or anything, just leave it on the website there, and we'll try to get back with you and help you out any way we can, and that's what we're out here for. I tell everybody, you know, I don't get paid a dime for doing this storm chasing. I figure my pay is being able to save somebody's life and keep somebody from getting hurt. That's my pay for doing all this. And as long as that happens, then I'm doing fine.
Amen, Mr. Campbell. And thank you again for what you do, keeping everybody safe, Tim. And I'll talk at you next week, my friend, or either text me or whatever. Thank you again, Tim. Y'all
okay.
Be safe out there, bud.
Okay. You have a good night. Good race weekend.
Yes, sir. Y'all too. Yes, sir. Y'all too. All right, that was Tim Campbell, our meteorologist, storm chaser, that agreed to come on. I'm glad we got a weatherman, Stephen. But anyway, Tony B and Tina Stoll here. I say, Suzanne wanted me to play this. I'm going to bring Tony B on, and she said she wanted to hear this. So here, my good friend, Tony B, Indianapolis 500 champion crew chief for Dario Franchitti when he won the 2012 Indianapolis 500, and they won the 2013 Rolex 24 at Daytona. Tony B, you're in the pit stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. Suzanne said she wanted to ding, ding, ding and go around.
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing good, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. The weather seems to be good for right now, and been a lot of stuff going on in open wheel racing. I don't know if you folks have been paying attention or not, but you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to Brad Sweet, although he had one of the most horrific crashes in World of Outlaw history. He rebounded from Burlington, Iowa, the next night at Beaver Dam Raceway in Wisconsin and won. After being in such a horrific crash, Terry McCarl kind of moved him off into the turn three wall and on top of it, and it split his car completely in half. And he took quite a ride, and Brad was able to get out of that. And he was in the hospital until 6 a.m. the next day when he decided to run at Beaver Dam Raceway in Wisconsin and won for his fifth win of the year. And I'll tell you what, boys, got to hand it to Brad Sweet. He's a blessed man and came through that very well. Don't know how they make those cars anymore. You know, if they bend them, they'd get rid of them. And I just don't think they're making them as strong as they used to. And for that reason, you get a car that splits completely in half. And God bless Brad that he's okay and he came through that. You know, we are on a season where Steve Kinser, it's his last go at it. And I'll tell you what, between Donnie Schatz has won 8 races and Brad Sweet's 1-5, they're putting on some shows. So all you people out there, if if you want to see Brad's crash, they do have it on YouTube. It was at Iowa 34 Raceway in Burlington, Iowa. And Brad is okay, and so don't feel bad about watching it. But Tim or Steven, did you guys happen to see that?
This is Tim, Tony. I don't think I did, but I will look. Steven, did you see it?
No, I did not.
Absolutely incredible. And to go on about sprint car racing, Rico Avaro with the ASCS Northwest in Southern Oregon Speedway captured his 12th win, which puts him in second place in the world for sprint car, midget, Silver Crown, Super Modified. He is the second ranked driver in the world. And the reason I bring him up quite often is, folks, his best friend is Kyle Larson, and Kyle was very good in the same forms of racing, and we all know what Kyle's doing today. And I really look for people, get to know Rico, because he's going places, and he's going to put on some good shows for you, and it will be a good, very, very confident, distinguished young gentleman that knows how to drive and really, really goes and gets it. He's running second to Christopher Bell, and Brian Clausen is behind him in third place. But he is only two races down for leading the entire world, and I think that is incredible. And then we jump over to Formula One. And, you know, I kind of touched on this last week. If you didn't have a Mercedes or were Lewis Hamilton or Nico Rosberg, Formula One is not much fun because they were in Austria and Nico Rosberg won again. That makes three for Nico and five for Lewis Hamilton. And it looks like Mercedes is really taking charge in Formula One. And for everybody that's following the Verizon IndyCar League, they are going to be at Pocono. The points are really battling up there with Will Power, an Australian native, at 405, Helio Castroneves at 366, Ryan Hunter-Reay at 364, and Simon Pagenaud at 346. And Pagenaud did get a race win in race two at Houston. So everybody should expect the unexpected in the season's second half. They've got double races. They've got the 500 at Pocono. It's really going to be incredible.
That sounds good, Tony. And there was – I'm not trying to butt in. Steven, do you have anything for Tony?
No, not tonight. I don't.
Okay. Tony, I seen it. I shared it on Facebook the other day. Who was that that got – somebody got – it was Marco Andretti. He got suspended for something. What was that, Tony?
I mean,
not
go
suspended.
Back.
He got fined.
He did get fined. He was
not trying
cheating.
To put you on the spot, Tony. Not trying to put you on the
sorry,
spot.
I'm sorry.
I
don't have
remember.
That info in front of me. But he did receive a fine. I believe that he done something wrong on pit road. But don't quote me on that because I have not done research on that. But,
I know what it was now, Tony. I know what it was.
Go ahead.
He got it was failure to heed the – was it the blue flag? Failure to heed the blue flag or something.
Yeah, it was something to do with pit road.
Yeah,
so,
something like that. But anyway, Tony, your sidekick and Miss NHRA, sweet darling Miss Tina Stull, that we call, that is going, you know, she's agreed to come on your segment, Everything Open Wheel, and talk about NHRA. I want to bring her on at this time, Tony, awesome. And y'all can have the floor. And, Tony, I think she run over you. Hey, Miss Tina, you're in the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. Tony B and yourself. Me and Stephen are going to step aside and let y'all do y'all's open wheel and NHRA. Y'all got the floor, sweetie. Watch out, Stephen. She's driving reckless.
Sounds like I didn't make one of them left turns in time. Well, hey, how you doing, Tony?
I'm doing good. How are you, Tina?
I'm doing good. I'm back here in Texas. Glad to be able to be back in the show tonight. Missed y'all last week, but here you did fine without me. I'm hurt.
Well, we didn't do as good as you think, but we're really glad you're here tonight. So let her rip. Just
okay.
Don't run over me this time.
Well, shoot. I'll just real quick, you know, go over the results from this week. They were out in Chicago. Antoine Brown won for Top Fuel, and then you had Matt Hagan in Funny Car and Vincent Nobile in Pro Stock and Arana Jr. over in Pro Stock Motorcycles. So kind of some new names that usually aren't there at the top of the leaderboard. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch the race because I was in flight from Chicago. I was coming home from Michigan, so I kind of missed everything, but you know, we can all go to NHRA and read it, but I wanted to hear, I heard a little bit, you were talking about that crash, and I did get to see it, and oh, wowsy.
Yeah.
That was a, you know, I thought only dragsters like to jump the wall and go rolling outside of the track zone, but that was quite a doozy, and just the fact that he raced the next day, amazing.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's why we're reaching out to these people and getting them equipped with Brace Yourself
mm-hmm.
to help them through these violent, horrific, and unfortunate accidents that are going to continue to happen.
Well,
but,
now, I have a question for you. Are the cars supposed to split that way, or was this just not a – this is not typical?
The bottom line, sprint car splitting – in half behind the firewall.
Mm-hmm.
The motor in the front end went one way. Brad Sweet, the tail tank, went the other way. No, it's not supposed to do that, but I will tell you that people, they build the specification, but they're not overbuilding them not to do things like this, because if they bend them, they get rid of them.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
like it used to be.
Well, and in safety, you know, I mean, fair play is that, you know, cars usually don't go flipping over the wall, over the, you know, that far out of boundaries. That's a pretty unusual wreck, I would assume.
You know, back in the day when I raced,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't drive a nail if it was straight. It had to be crooked. You know, for me to drive it. So, you know, I understood that, and we dealt with it. And these guys today, they're, you know, everything is engineered, and
mm-hmm.
they're right down, and they can bring a car off the track. They put it on a plate. That car's no good. Let's go to another one. And they
yeah.
all got backup cars. And
yeah.
you know, it's, in a sense, safer for them. But I think that they're letting some things go to go fast.
Yeah, you know, and you know what? That's kind of where drivers and teams bitch about too many rules, but that's why there's so many rules, is because just by personality type, they're risk takers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I've seen it a bunch of times. A couple years ago, we had almost a 3% crash ratio fatality in the category, in one category. But if you went back and you looked at each one of those accidents, most of the fatalities could have been prevented. And it was because even though they had the equipment, they weren't wearing it properly, because it's, you know, sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it, you know, it, it, it can be a barrier. You were talking about brace yourself. Hans device, a lot of the guys don't like wearing them because of it, you know, it a little bit restrictive movement, a little bit, you know, it's cumbersome, it's hard to get in and out of the car, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that's what they have offered. As better items come on the market, I think people get a little less resistant. You know, I can imagine.
Absolutely.
You look at drag racing 25 years ago and, you know, the safety equipment was practically, well, I shouldn't say at all levels, but in general, most guys didn't, you know, think twice about safety equipment. And now even the sportsmen all the way down to, you know, 10.9 seconds, they're obligated to and they appreciate it now.
Yeah, and the bottom line is, you know, 30 years ago, midgets, sprint cars, and silver crown cars, they didn't have roll cages.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure everybody has unfortunately seen it, that has watched the sport grow. The drivers used to come out of the cars. And there are some great safety innovations coming every year. And I'm glad and very happy and feel blessed to be part of that.
Yeah. Well said, well said. So what else did we got going this week? Talk to me. Tell me the hot stuff.
Well, we got the Verizon IndyCar League. They're going
Let's get ready to rumble!
Oh. That's my buddy, Timmy. We've got the Formula One cars going to Great Britain, and we are just a week away from the $50,000 to win King's Royale World of Outlaws race at Tony Stewart's Eldora Speedway, July 11th and 12th. That is going to be a big show. And following that, Indiana Sprint Week starts. And let me tell you, they put a good group of drivers, very talented, from all over the world in these cars, and they really put on a fine show. And a lot of that can be caught on MAV TV. It's called the Dirty 30. And that is going to start running check with USAC, but I believe that's going to start running on MAV TV starting Saturday. So there's a lot of things going on, and we're wondering where the next big drag race is, and we're ready.
Well, it's going to be out at Norwalk. Now, that's a fun track. It's been around for a long time. I raced it back when I, you know, had a team that traveled all over the place. And it's a nice track. A lot of the guys like it because they have a lot of years history at it. And that's what we got going this weekend. It looks like the weather is going to hold out, hopefully, and it'll be a one more good race. We're getting down to, you know, well over halfway through and plotting through these races. Last week we had Clay Milliken is one who did pretty well last week, won a couple of rounds, and we've just watched him struggle. He's with that new team this year, Tuttle, and poor guy's had bad luck, if any luck at all. And this, it looks like the team is finally coming together. I know, Tony, we've talked before a lot about, you know, how hard it is to get a team that works together and how shared confidence you have in that. Well, Clay has had a complete change up from prior year that really, I mean, everybody that's working on his team now is pretty much new to him. And it's been a struggle to get up to speed. And, you know, you're going up against the Schumacher team. You're going up against the Colettas. These guys have had the same base team for years and years and years. So it's always kind of good. I always look at him as, one of the underdogs because he's one of the single driver teams that, it's people can't imagine having a job where not only do you have to raise all the money to keep the company going for the entire year and to pay everybody else, but to try to get your, you know, get a dime in your own pocket. And it's a hard drive with sponsorship dollars where they are to see, you know, to be able to pull something together that's able to be competitive. So, you know, big kudos to him on doing that.
If I was going to pick somebody, I would pick Tony Schumacher. But, you know, Tina, speaking of which, I got to pull Steven and Tim in real quick because I got to know their picks for the Firecracker at Daytona Saturday night, because I think I've been kicked to the curb. I'm not doing very well, even though I thought I did very well in fantasy racing. I'm behind Mr. Steven Wilson and behind Mr. Tim Despain, and I would like to know their picks for that race, and I'd also like to know Suzanne's.
Whoa, daily double, Tony. You got a daily double. Okay. All right, we're going to, since Stephen's been on the side, Tony and Tina, we'll let Stephen make his prediction for the Coke Zero 400 at Daytona International Speedway this weekend for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series.
Okay.
All right. Well, there's a lot of good picks, as anybody knows. 43 drivers are going to enter that race, and 43 drivers, if they stay out of the big one, have a chance to win that race.
Absolutely.
Saying that, I do think Dale Earnhardt Jr. will win and sweep the season at Daytona.
That's a good pick, Steven.
Yeah,
that's a good pick. And Tony, you want me to go next, or you want to go?
I can tell you.
I would say ladies first, but Tina dropped. She'll probably call back here just a second. You know, we always do ladies first. Since Tina dropped, let's bring Suzanne in. We'll bring Suzanne
absolutely
in and let her make her
let's
pick.
Get ready to rumble.
My darling wife, Suzanne, producer of the Pit Stop with Tim Despain, Stephen Wilson, and Tony Bajenski, his segment, Everything Open Wheel, and Tina Stowe. I'm trying to blow it all out there. Okay. Who are you picking, Suzanne,
right,
for the Coke Zero 400 at Daytona National Speedway? 84. Who's in the 84?
I think she said 88.
I'm aggravating her, Tony. Hey, watch your mouth on this radio show. We don't allow that. All right, I'm going to put you back in mute, Suzanne. We can't have that. NASCAR, we done kicked us off everywhere. All right, waiting on Tina. Laugh out. Waiting on Tina to call in, and I'm going to make my pick.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go out on a limb. And this gentleman right here drives for Hendrick Motorsports. And he has been, they've been having a bad season this year with Kenny Francis. I'm going with the 5 car of Casey Kane.
Well, I respect your pick. But I've watched it. And there's a lot of people that are going to be coming to the front. Tony Stewart, Kurt Busch, Kevin Harvick. But I am with Steven and Suzanne, with Dale Jr., but he's on the bench. I'm going to go with Jimmy Johnson. They either get up and go, or they might as well go home.
Wow, I hear you, TB.
That's a tough pick, Tony. that's really a tough pick. He doesn't do so well at restricted plate races, as we all know.
But he's got to pick. Yes, you're absolutely correct. And Dale Jr. does, and Tony does, and Kurt does. And, you know, guys, and nobody's mentioned her, but Danica Patrick has showed up to NASCAR. And
yes, sir.
She has done well there, qualified well there, and I'm telling you, she's in my picks. She doesn't come until way down, but she is there. And, you know, it's unfortunate the A, B, and C divisions are split up the way they are, because I would have my drivers being a lot different. But given who I had to
pick from, can't handle the truth.
I can't, really can't handle the truth. But I'm going with Jimmy Johnson.
Sorry, TB. Sorry, TB.
That's okay.
Right in there. That's good. And Tina dropped, I don't know, she hadn't tried to call back in. You know, she's in a bad area there. She said that her sales service is not that well. But anyway, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know where to start, which can I go back? Suzanne said that I didn't really get out everything at the start of the show. You know, we had some tragedy in sports over the weekend, and also with an actor. My idol, Mr. Philip Lutzenkirchen, tied in at Auburn, won the 2010
yeah.
National Championship with Auburn. He tragically lost his life in a wreck over in, I think it was LaGrange, Georgia, or somewhere over there. And Joseph Davis was a JUCO transfer from that went to Georgia to play baseball in it. And I'm probably going to mess this name up because I'm not good with names. I got this old redneck talk. Masaic Taylor from Designing Women, he also lost his life. You know, but, you know, just want to send condolences to the family, the friends, and of everything that happened, and especially my idol, Mr. Philip Lutzenkirchen from Auburn. And I know Steven's a big Florida State fan, but the big Auburn family, you know, we've took a big hit. And some of the Alabama, you know, Alabama and Auburn's a big, big rivalry, and they've put the rivalry on hold till we put Philip Lutzenkirchen to rest. And, you know, it's a tragic time. So if
yes,
we can,
absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, Tony, I know it. If we can, which I was talking, but I wasn't on there. Can we have a moment of silence just for a minute for everybody, and not even these high profile people, but anybody that has lost their life over the past weekend. Let's just have a moment of silence. Okay, thanks, y'all, and thank you, Tony, and. Steven, you got any last thoughts before we get off?
No. You know, we're in the summer stretch here. 9 races to go until we get to Richmond and put a rest to this 26 races and get to the chase. I think we've already talked about, like, you know, we're not going to see the 16 winners, but we've got some chances out there for some other guys to come up here in the next couple of races. One thing I am going to throw out there, this weekend, Daytona, you know, we all know that the big one's going to happen.
Yes.
When it's going to happen is anybody's guess. And even if Dale Jr. isn't going to be able to pull through the wreck, and anybody out there has just a good chance. You know, we saw that in Talladega with David Reagan winning, you know, with Front Row Motorsports. And, you know, we've got a wild card race. And one of the things that this race here can do is shake up the point standings enough that coming to the chase could potentially put you completely out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I do too, Steve. And Tony, any last thoughts on your end of your
just
segment?
One thing,
everything open wheel?
Not really on my segment, but in motorsports, I did did want to let you and Stephen know it is in my plans. Hopefully everything goes the right way, but I will be present at the Winchester Motor Speedway for ARCA and Grant Infinger, and have a meeting with Grant, and hopefully that will be a great race for ARCA, and I'll get to see Mr. Grant Infinger.
That's good, Tony, and you will like Grant. I've talked to Grant on the phone. I've talked to him here at the racetrack. Grant's a class act, and I'm whenever you see him, just tell him me and Suzanne said hello.
I will do that.
Okay, all right. And again, ladies and gentlemen, NASCAR fans abroad, thank y'all for tuning in to the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson and Tony B segment, and Tina was coming on there. And thank y'all again, my friends, and we'll talk again next Tuesday night.
That's all, folks.